Well, good afternoon, everybody.
Well, hello.
Good afternoon.
So it's been a very good morning already, and it's just been some great messages, one right after another.
Yes, indeed.
Charlie, you haven't had the benefit of here in South Carolina yet, have you?
No, unfortunately, that's one of the disadvantages of coming up right after them is that, and also actually being on the road, you can't hear them.
You miss it. But, you know, the cool thing is that Sue, that is my wife, is pretty doggone diligent about getting those things posted in a timely fashion. So we'll say thanks to Sue for that. And I got to tell you, if it was up to me to get them posted in a timely fashion, we'd probably still be waiting for a lot of them. But so, you know, thanks to Sue for that. If you guys want to catch the services, if perchance you miss any, you can get them from our website, which is www.thefishermanministry.org, and go to the audio section, podcasts, and you'll see them all there. Okay, so let's see. Today, what are we going to talk about, guys? Paul, what do you want to talk about today?
When we spend all that time getting together and talking about what we're going to talk about on Sunday, oh, wait a minute, that doesn't ever really happen, does it?
Well, you guys had Dad down there in South Carolina, right?
Yeah, we did.
And that was probably a treat, and was it not?
Yeah, it was. It was quite a blessing. Yeah, we tried to, you know, let the air out of his tires, but he got antsy and he had to leave. So there you go.
The trick is to block it. You got to get it up on blocks, Paul. If you get it up on blocks and skirt it, he'll think that he's in a cabin and he won't go anywhere. That's how you trick him. You got to get it up on blocks, and then you're all set.
I thought he was there to let the air out of your tires.
Well, you never can tell.
Well, I tell you what has been happening, and I tell you it tickles me silly, is that the hand of the Lord has not been short. And I know Steve was just talking about that, and Charlie, you were talking about that, but, you know, Dad is... took this trip, and there has been the hand of the Lord with him and the Spirit of the Lord with him every step of the way, and it has ministered to all manner of folks from Texas to the East Coast and now back again. And I know that we got John and B listening, which is obviously a huge blessing, and glad to see them back up on the listening here on the services. There's just been a huge ministry of grace that has been delivered, and there's been some correction, and there's been some adjustments handed out as well. But that is God's grace to us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And it is a good thing to have the light of God's Word and the light of God's man come into our lives and expose those things that we need to adjust so that we can do our job for the Lord better. Steve was talking about service. If we want to wait on the Lord properly, we need some training every now and then, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Because we get bad attitudes, and we get selfish, and we get self-centered, and we get going in directions that are counterproductive to God's will and God's kingdom, and we need that adjusted. And so I praise God for the correction of God's correction in our lives. Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, I wish you could just speak for yourself on that, because, you know, I don't need that, but...
Yeah. Oh, Charlie, we all need it.
But, you know,
I was just reading to the girls the other day, and if we say we have no sin, we're a liar. The truth is not in us.
That's kind of what I tried to hit today is, I mean, you know, when I hold the mirror of God, which is the Word of God against me, I just see that, oh my God, you know, it's not a pretty sight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's been pretty cool for us here, I mean, I've got Cheryl, my sister, and Kaylee's here too, and, you know, I was praying about this one day, and I was looking at what we have. We got my wife, and I got, there's a lot of estrogen in the house right now. It's just me and the dog on the, and he's not, he doesn't really count because he's an
idiot. And he's neutered, right?
Yeah, I mean, so I'm, some would say I'm outnumbered, and I have always held to the fact that I don't care how many of y'all there are, I'm never outnumbered. But in any case, I was looking around, and I said, you know, we got a little ministry team here. I may not realize it, but we do. I mean, we're not deficient in any sort of way, other than if we're deficient, it's only in our own willingness to go do what the Lord would have us do. So I talked to them, I don't know, sometime last week, and I said, all right, this is what we're going to do. We are going to have our own mini services every night. And we are going to seek the Lord, and every one of you are going to share. And they were all very excited, I have to tell you, that they were...
Oh, I bet. They were grinning from ear to ear, weren't they?
Oh, man. Grinning from ear to ear and itching to participate. Let me tell you, they could scarcely contain themselves. And if you all know who I'm talking about, you know that I might slightly be exaggerating things. In any case, we started Monday. And, you know, it was amazing because I listened to your service Thursday, Paul, and even down to the scriptures, everything Dad was sharing with you guys Thursday was what we had been going over all week. And that just is, it's an amazing thing to see the Spirit of God move, and it is not limited by geography.
No, it's not.
And so we spent all week, and of course we were going to go out Friday, which was a couple days ago, and we got like the monsoon that we had been missing for the past 2 years all showed up on one day. And washed out half my steps down the yard. I mean, we got pounded with rain. I have not seen so much rain here in Arizona. That's okay. So I said, well, I guess...
Now?
Yeah, oh, yeah. So are the streets. We almost needed a boat to get home from dinner last night. But in any case, we decided to... all right, so we obviously are not going to go out in this... but we'll listen to Thursday service. So we sat around and we listened to the Thursday service, and we were just, you know, I was praising the Lord because all the things that we had been going over all week, you know, starting with Revelation 12:11, is that right? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, were their testimony, they loved not their life unto the death. That's 12:11, correct?
Right.
Okay. Well, that's sort of where we started, and not to just be too duplicative of what you guys have been talking about, but when you look at that scripture and you look at our existence and our lives as Christians, I bet you every one of us that call ourselves Christians have probably at one point in time said, "Lord, be my Jesus, be my Lord and Savior," right? I mean,
right.
I would say that, you know, that is the essential prayer, Father, forgive me my sins, you know, be my Lord and Savior, etc. That is that sort of sinner's prayer. That is the blood of the Lamb being applied to us. I mean, that's right. That's the born again that Jesus talked to Nicodemus about. Lest a man be born again, he cannot see, that is, to understand the kingdom of God. And so we've had that. So we've got that first part. We've got that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Got that sort of down. We've got that part sort of checked out off the list. And I bet you every one of us, I know you, Paul, I know you, Charlie, and I bet you if we were to go, even the folks down on the chat, and say, all right, put in the things that God has done for you, I bet you that just about everybody could put something in there where God has intervened on their behalf and touched their lives in some way.
Amen.
You know, I look at Phil and Hope, and there's a long list, man. I look at Brad and Lisa, there's a long, well, maybe as long, maybe longer. There's a long list of God's intervention in their lives. Casey and Jeff, there's a long, I mean, Carl, Linda, I mean, I can't see everybody on the chat because it's not on my screen at the moment, but I know the people that are normally around on our services, and I bet you every single one can list more than a handful of times God has intervened in their lives and demonstrated his person to them. So we've got the blood of the Lamb, and we've got a testimony of God operating in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
But it's that last part. It's that last part.
And you know, in that last part, operates on so many levels.
That last part of they love not their life unto the death. And this is what the Lord gave me Monday night here when we were going through the scripture. And I think Dad hit on it Thursday, like right on the same thought. You can have the first two, but if you don't have the third, the first two don't hold any water.
Well, I mean, would that go back to that Isaiah in the sense that, you know, if you hang on to your life, you're hanging on to your iniquity and to your pride.
Yeah.
On there, because it's only at that point where you're willing to lay down your life, and not only maybe in a physical sense, but also in the sense of willing, getting to that point of servitude.
I think of so many scriptures. Sorry,
demonstrate the
done.
Love of Jesus Christ, because if you hold on to your life, you're hanging on to your iniquity and your pride.
Right. I thought you were done there for a second. You still with me, Charlie? Who did we lose? We lost somebody. Charlie, you with me?
You lost me.
Okay. All right, got everybody back. All right. Little bit of an internet glitch. We get those now and then. Well, there's so many scriptures that go along with what you're saying, Charlie. I mean, Steve and you guys went through Hebrews 4. And I think of the children of Israel, you know, that die, that perished in the desert. I mean, what reason did they have for perishing in the desert?
They wanted to go back to Egypt.
And but there was no good reason for them to want that. I mean...
you mean the beatings and the slavery and all that sort of stuff?
Now, I'm going to be very slow to throw rocks because I know I'm no different. I have been no different. Let me put it that way. I've done the same thing. You know, there's the Keith Green song. So you want to go back to Egypt where it's safe and secure. You know, we as our nature, that unbelief in us, wants to go back to that which we know, and we're afraid of the unknown. And, you know, that's loving your life, not giving up your life. And the Bible says a man that seeks to save his life will lose it, but the man who loses his life for Christ's sake is going to what? Reap life everlasting. I mean, we see scripture after scripture after scripture, going back to the Hebrews 4, and I'm not going to go read it verbatim because we've been through it so much, but we'll just break it down in sort of a synopsis. But you see that it says the gospel was preached to them. They saw the miracles. They were there for the Passover. I mean, they sacrificed a lamb. They ate the lamb. Their firstborn was saved. I mean, you see God's hand demonstrated in a miraculous, continuous fashion over a period of time. The enemies of Egypt are destroyed. They're standing on the other side, and they perish in the desert. And the Bible says that the gospel was preached to them. It didn't profit them, not being mixed with what?
Faith.
Faith.
And them that heard it.
That's right. And you know where we are is in the same place. And I think it was not too long ago that we were looking at, sorry, I glanced at the chat and lost my train of thought. Sorry about that. we're cutting it out. Oh no. Well, no. Get it back. It's falling away.
Oh.
Where were we?
Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
Right.
And then you try and trail it off somewhere.
Yeah, well, you know, and I wish you all had a camera. You'd see how red my face was right now. Because I had this thought, and it's just gone. So, anyway, so...
Well, you know, I know that when, you know, we talk about this going back to Egypt and walking out in faith, you know, people have a fear of the unknown. You know, people have a fear that, you know, and, you know, how can you fully trust God unless you're willing to shed the things that you're familiar with and step out fully in His faith, or step out fully in faith in Him? And I know that that frightens people. Because a lot of times when it goes back to this thing, is what am I going to be like when God's finished with me? You know, I'm not going to be me. And not recognizing that, well, when your Lord's finished with you, you're going to be pleasing to Him. And that's the important thing.
Well, we go back to that part about not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. One of the things we've been really hitting on here, and I think this is back on the track again, so thank you, Lord. You know, we sing the song, Build Your House on the Rock. We go through the scripture in Matthew 7 saying, Lord, Lord. We talk about the vision of two revivals, and we talk about the two hills. And, you know, we have all these things that we know. I mean, you know them, Charlie. Paul, you know them. I know them. You know, we all know these things. If you spend any time listening to any of the broadcasts, you're aware of these things.
Yeah.
But they are purely condemnation to you unless you actually do them.
That's true.
And that's really the crux of the matter, is it not, guys? I mean, when we really look at things right now, we all know what's right. Mm-hmm. We all know it. We all know. I mean, it's and I've done it. So please, you know, I don't want to make some sort of assumption. I've never been guilty of this. But how many times have we sort of been standing saying, "Geez, Lord, I wonder if you would like me to witness to that person," or "Well, Lord, I wonder, you know, when His Word says what? What's His Word say, Paul? Go into all the world and selectively choose those that are worthy to hear my gospel. Is that what it says?"
Well, I don't think so. I think it says to preach the gospel to all creatures.
You know, just the simple thing of that, and we don't do it for a lot of different reasons. We're afraid, we're embarrassed, we're ashamed, we're whatever, and it's all revolving around who?
Me.
Me.
Which is idolatry, is it not?
Yep.
I mean, isn't one of the things Steve talked about even today in today's service is the idolatry of self? Do you think God's going to let another idolater into the kingdom of heaven? He already had that. He already had Lucifer. And that did not end well. Not for his kingdom, and not for Lucifer, and not for those that followed him. Do you think God's going to allow idolatry and pride into heaven again?
Never.
Never. So when I talk about, or when we talk about this idea about they love not their life unto the death, you know, this is something that this is not optional. This is a requirement. This is sort of like, you know, if you don't get this part, you don't graduate. I don't care how many credits you may be missing, you know, one-tenth of a credit. I don't care if you don't get this part. This is one of those, it's not an elective. It's a required course, and if you don't get it, you don't graduate, period.
And when you're talking about loving your life unto the death, not loving your life unto the death, it's not necessarily talking about that physical death.
Yeah. It's about choosing the Lord over yourself, about choosing the choosing his way. I say it's coming to the rock. And what I mean by that is mm-hmm. it's Jesus in the garden, man. It's, Father, not my will, your will be done. That is the crux of it.
Yeah.
So what are some of the thoughts that, or what are some of the things that we get caught up in that we need to change? And that's sort of what I wanted to get to today in the scripture. So we're going to go over and look at John chapter 6. And we talked about this here amongst ourselves in our little group meetings that we've been having just the other day. I think it was just, gosh, I don't know which day it was. It was just recently we talked about this. You know, we look at things, most of the time, we look at things with our carnal mind and with our carnal eyes. Is that not true?
Amen.
Yep.
We look at things and we judge our ability to manage the events before us based on our ability. Not God's ability. We somehow restrict him to what we believe we are able to accomplish with the tools that we are given. Is that not what we do?
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that faith or is that unbelief?
It's
unbelief.
And that's where we cannot. That's where we can't live. Amen.
Amen.
We have to get out of that place. We have to get out of that place of living in unbelief, constraining God, and limiting him to what we see in the natural. We have to get out of that place. And I've got to tell you, the only way you get out of that place is to be continuously put in situations you can't fix. And eventually you'll learn that God is able to fix it, and you can trust him to do so.
Amen.
Yep.
And when you learn that, when you learn that you can look at the circumstance and situation and it can be an impossibility. It's just impossible. Not going to happen. It's just no physical way on earth that it can be accomplished. That's right where God wants you. Because you're right. There's no physical, manly way. But God isn't limited by man. And God isn't limited by physics. And God isn't limited by finances. And God isn't limited by all manner of things that mankind wants to limit him to. If he, the creator of the universe, can say, let there be light, and out of nothing create everything, then your problem is not so big or not so whatever that he is unable to address it. Amen.
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 So let's look at John here. Okay, so we are going to look at John chapter 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Pardon me. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now this is very interesting, this next little verse, because how often, I wonder, is the Lord trying us? Look at verse 6. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. You know, the scripture that comes to mind with that, Paul, is over in Matthew, where Jesus says he knows what we have need of before we even ask, speaking of our Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
Don't you know that he's already got it worked out? I don't care what you're looking at. He's already got it worked out. Did he not say that on the seventh day he rested from all his works?
Yeah.
I mean, just think of it for a minute. I mean, if we can just sort of digest the truth of this point, he's already got it figured out.
He's not wringing his hands.
Yeah, if the creator of the universe has already got it figured out, then why are we so worryful about the things that are going on in our lives? Is that not pure unbelief?
Yep.
Do you guys want to comment on any of that? I'll give you a chance here. I'm going to, like, instead of expect you to guess the poignant pauses for you, I'm going to just, like, you know, offer it up there.
Well, the question, what you really end up with is, are you trusting yourself and in natural, or are you trusting on in his supernatural ability and commitment to you? And has he not already proven his commitment to you?
Right. Who's holding the mic or moving it around? Is that you, Paul?
That would probably be me. I didn't know you could hear that.
Oh, yes. You can hear it quite clearly. So I'd appreciate it if you do not do that. Who was it recently that was preaching? It might have been Steve when you guys were doing Revival Week. Who was it that was starting out, without him, without Jesus, you can do nothing?
That was Steve.
Okay. So, we know through Scripture that of ourselves, we can't do anything. Amen?
Amen.
We can accomplish squat all, as my wife would say in her South African terminology. Or bugger all, you know. I can say that. It's not a dirty word here, I guess. But you can't do anything. You can accomplish nothing without Christ.
And do nothing.
And if that be the case, boy, we fret over a lot of stuff we can't do anything about, don't we?
Amen.
Absolutely.
I mean, when we really think about what's going on in that sense of things, if we just take a moment and say, all right, the Bible says without him I can do nothing. So the only way I can do anything is through him, through obedience to him, then I can accomplish something. And then if I am simply being obedient to his orders, then is it me who is accomplishing it, or is it him anyway? So in the end, he's still yet the one that gets all the glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
But here he asked James, is that who he asked here?
Philip.
Philip. All right, here he asked Philip, thank you. When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. See, he already knew. Thank you, Scott and Gail. I'm thankful for putting that up there. I feel so much better now. If y'all listen to this, you don't know what's in the chat. That's all right. But here I go back to that scripture in Matthew, where he says he knows what we have need of before we even ask. Yeah. See, that's the goodness of our Heavenly Father. So Philip is going to demonstrate where we are most of the time. Y'all ready?
Mm-hmm.
A little drink of water there. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little.
So he assesses the situation in the natural, and there we go.
Yeah. He's saying we need to contact the United Way, because there's got to be a local NGO we can get hold of, or if we just got that 501c3 paperwork filed, you know, we could get some government assistance and get some of this stuff taken care of. Obviously, these people need help.
Somebody's got a soup kitchen going somewhere.
I'm saying, you know, we can maybe hit up the local grocery stores and, you know, do something. Get a food drive going, maybe a food pantry. Am I hitting any nerves with anybody here?
Not me.
I mean, maybe some people that are going to be listening to this, I might hit some nerves with them. Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah, well, you
it's
know,
so dull of hearing.
You know, it goes back to that how we limit God. You know, how we always put limits on God, how we can see in our natural. And that demonstrates unbelief, lack of faith. And that's how the churches operate today.
Yeah.
That's how Christians operate today.
They operate continuously in the carnal solution to the problem. I don't know, that's a profound statement, guys. I don't take credit for it, but that's a profound statement right there. Churches today operate in the carnal solution to the problem.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? The thing that always hit me when you look at the Jewish faith, or you know, the Old Testament, one thing I always talked about was how it was our responsibility, our personal responsibility, to take care of helping the poor, and how we've seen the shift in the attitude of a personal responsibility of putting it off on the government, or putting it off, like you had said, on these NGOs or all these other organizations out there, and how we lose sight of what the Lord has called us to do. And in this case, I mean, it's even more so where we're losing sight that the Lord, if it's of Him, He will provide that, those means.
Yeah, I want to back up just to a concept for a minute, Charlie. You're right. You're absolutely dead on the money. And I want to sort of distill this down a little bit to a more personal level in our own lives. You know, here we're looking at a situation where they got 5,000 men. We're not counting the women and children here, guys. We're just talking 5,000 men, right? I mean, this is a large group of people. And
yeah.
And Jesus said, "Well, all right, let's feed these guys." And Philip says, "Say what? Do what? We're going to do what?" You know, so this is kind of a big deal. But, you know, guys, I got to tell you, man, in our lives, we do the same thing all the time. It may not be feeding 5,000, but maybe it's tithing. I mean, how many Christians don't tithe because there's just not enough to go around?
You know, from my experience and observation, tithing is one of the quickest way that you see people depart from following the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't count the number of times where tithing came up as an issue for people, saying, you know, it's time for you to start tithing, and they've turned around and walked away.
Doesn't matter what they've received, doesn't matter what kind of miracles they've partaked of, been, you know, had bestowed upon them, doesn't matter. It you're right, Charlie, because the almighty dollar was more important to them than serving the Lord.
Well, the other thing I think, too, is what you see is that it's all about them and all about what they can receive. At the point that it comes out that now they have to die to themselves, you know, they live not their life, and they have to start turning around and giving of themselves.
Right.
At that point, you see them depart because they don't want to do that.
Well, you see this next part here is where we have to see things differently. We have to see things from a completely different perspective, and we need to pray and seek the Lord for wisdom and discernment, and to put on the mind of Christ. I mean, we're commanded to do such things. Amen. Put off the old man, put on the new
Amen.
Man, put on the mind of Christ. Arm yourself with this mind. You know, this, we've talked a lot about that on this show recently. So verse 8, we have this: one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" Okay, so we have Philip that says, "We need to definitely file some sort of grant petition, because you know, we just don't have the cash available in the in the bank account to cover this little venture that you're so keen to do right this moment. And we got Andrew saying, hey, well, we got this kid that's got his lunch, but, I mean, come on, let's get realistic about this. I mean, is that not essentially what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we are. Let's just take the tithing thing again. And if you guys that are listening, if you guys are online, let me just tell you something. Tithing is is one of the first steps of obedience that I guarantee you, if you just do it, God's going to move in your life.
Amen.
Period. It is the yep. easiest faith builder you can have if you just take the step of faith to be obedient in that one thing. God's going to meet you.
Well, you know the nice thing about tithing? It's just cut and dry. It's like a tenth. You know, it's not like, you know, okay, what did I bring in? I brought $100 this month or whatever. Here's $10. I mean, there's no guesswork in it.
But people, they look at what they have. Oh, man, I just don't have enough. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough, you know, I don't have enough. I mean, do we all have that in our life where there's just something we don't have enough of? Steve was talking about that today, was he not? Talking about his schedule is such that he doesn't have enough. But yet, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
And here we're looking at a situation where there's not enough. There's not enough to accomplish the need. There's not enough. And you got the disciples that are operating in that carnal mentality. We are just like them. We look at the limitations, the physical limitations of what we can accomplish in our capacity, and somehow God is limited by what we have the ability to do. How unbelievably short-sighted of us. And you know, the reason we don't see the Lord move so miraculously in our life as he's about to move here is because we never give him the chance. We never give him the opportunity to actually accomplish it. Because we've got him limited in some sort of box that says, well, geez, I can't afford it, so I guess it can't be done. Well, if he said, let there be light, created the universe, he created gold, he created silver, I mean, he created these things. Is he not able to multiply your finances? Is he not able to multiply your resource? Is he not able to multiply your understanding, wisdom? Is there anything that you need that he cannot provide?
Not that I can think of.
Exceedingly abundantly above that which we're able to think.
Ask or think, how? What is there in our lives that we need that he can't provide? Name one thing that we need, and I say need, that he is unable to provide. I'm coming up blank too, Charlie. I mean, I'm just thinking here. I can't think of anything.
It reminds me of the lilies of the field, you know? I mean, the Lord wants to provide us these things.
Right.
To serve him.
Right. I mean, he has already provided all provision necessary for us to accomplish the things that he has for us to do.
Yeah.
Period. If we walk on that path that he has provided for us to accomplish, everything we need has already been provided. When we stray from that path, then we may find ourselves lacking. So get back on the path. It's not hard.
You know where this really brings to my mind is, you know, it talks about James. It says, you ask not and receive not because you want to consume it in your lust. Is, you know, one of the big lies out there is that prosperity movement or that prosperity gospel where people's thoughts and their understand, you know, their taught that God will provide everything you need. He'll provide you that nice car and that speedboat and all this other stuff, and it becomes, once again, all about them instead of taking what the Lord is giving you to serve Him. They want the things so they can serve themselves.
That's part of it, Charlie. The other part of that scenario that you know just came to mind while you were talking is that that movement is so caught up in the presentation of Christ as some sort of earthly gain. In other words, if you are a Christian, you will have earthly gain. And the way they prove that Christ is worth following is how much earthly gain they have. I mean, I believe Paul says, beware of those that say gain is godliness. And he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So you see that you have that presentation of the shields of brass versus the shields of gold. So you have this counterfeit and this garbage gospel and philosophy out there trying to promote. See, the world counts success and wealth in one measure, and God counts it as another. And rather than demonstrate God's measure, they promote the world's measure and then slap God's name on it.
Well, you know what it reminds me of? It's like Solomon. You look at Solomon, he was the wisest man outside of Jesus who ever walked the face of the earth. He was also one of the richest men that ever walked the face of this earth. Yeah. In the end, he said, all my wealth and all my knowledge is vanity.
Right.
It's of no worth. I mean, you're not going to take
it
with
you. It took him a while to get there. We could all learn from what he was trying to say to us, can't we?
We can. I mean, I've met people who all they care about is everything they have, but in the end, when they die, they stand before the Lord. The Lord's not going to care how much money you had in the bank. He's going to care what you did with that, He's given you to serve Him, to serve others.
I guarantee you one of the criteria of entering into heaven is not your credit score. Contrary to some people's opinion, your FICO score is not what He's going to be looking at. We go back to what we started with today, and He's going to be looking at the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, and they love not their life to the death. Were you an idolater? Did you love God? Did you keep my commandments? Did you love me? Did you believe me? I mean, those are the things that He's going to count as important. Did you love me? Did you believe me? And I got to tell you, if we are living like these guys here, and we keep our heads in the carnal solutions to spiritual problems, we are going to miss that boat. We are going to completely miss the whole point of all the time we have spent learning about God. If we don't actually apply it and get out of our carnal man and out of our carnal nature and out of our carnal mind, if we don't finally transition out of that existence, out of this same place that the disciples are in right here, if we don't get out of that, we're going to die in it, just like the children of Israel died in the desert. Because it all comes down to faith. I don't care that you prayed the prayer. I don't care that your leg grew out. That's awesome that God moved. But if you don't take that and apply it and actually do something with it, that stuff is just going to count against you.
Well, you know, it goes back to where Jesus was saying, you know, you're talking about the leg growing out. I mean, woe unto you, Chorazin, right? Woe unto you, Bethsaida. I mean, people were healed by the right. Lord. I mean, people saw miraculous things, yet they did not take that which the Lord showed them and put forth their life to live according to that faith.
This whole chapter, we're not going to have time to go through it, Charlie, today, but this whole chapter 6 of John, y'all just read it. I mean, you see, they came to the miracles, they were fed, then he split city for a while, they find him, and he preaches a sermon and runs them all off, turns to the 12 and say, you guys going to leave too? I mean, in a day. I mean, he had the. I mean, he had his huge multitude of followers, and in a day reduced it to 12 with one sermon.
Amen.
I mean, this is where we are, folks. We have heard sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon. Are we going to be part of the group that departs because we don't like what we're hearing? Or are we going to be part of that group that says, where are we going to go? You know, you alone have the words of eternal life. Are we going to recognize and submit and just choose to get this stuff dealt with? I don't, you know, regardless of how hard, how much it hurts at times. I mean, where are we going to be when it is all said and done here? Let's look at what Jesus does here. And we all know this story. This is not a, this is not like some obscure reference. This is something we should all know. So, Jesus, again, back in verse 6, now he said, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. So, he already knew how he was going to accomplish this. Amen? We got that settled.
Yep.
All right, so, verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Give or take a few hundred. That's a lot of people.
You wonder what the disciples are thinking here now. So what is he doing? If we're all sitting down, nobody's going to be able to go get any money or any food.
I don't know what they were thinking. Who knows, man? All right. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. And the disciples to them were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them which had eaten.
Now, what do you suppose, why do you suppose it was important to him that nothing be lost? That's one of those questions I think I know the answer to. That's why I asked it.
Well, you go ahead, Paul.
He wanted them to see the magnitude of the provision.
Yep.
This is what Donovan. Go ahead, Paul. I thought you were done. Go ahead.
Well, I thought maybe somebody had piped in there.
No.
That I didn't want to walk all of them.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm done.
So this is what we were talking about the other day. I forget which day it was around here. And applying it to ourselves. You know, I don't know about you, Charlie, but there have been times where I have looked out at the task at hand and said, man, there's just not enough of us to get this done.
Amen.
Have you felt that way?
I've been in situations like that before, yeah.
Every day.
Well, I look at what we just in our own ministry, in our own fellowship. Let's take all the other stuff out of the equation. Just look at what we have to accomplish. You know, we've got a work that needs to be done in Texas. We got a work that needs to be done in South Carolina. We got a work that needs to be done in 2 locations in Vermont now. We got a work that needs to be done here in Arizona. We got a work that needs to be done in Florida. We have work that needs to be done, do we not?
Yeah.
Amen.
Are there not people in every... Shoot, let's not forget Carter. There's work to be done in Colorado. Forgive me, Carter.
Yeah.
Now, we got North Carolina now that needs a work to be done. We got John and B now. And if there's anybody else, forgive me. And I don't mean to leave anybody out here, but I'm just going off the top of my head. But there is a work to be done all over the place. Is there not?
Yep.
There is.
Are there people that need to be fed the bread of life?
Amen.
Yep.
And how many of us feel completely inadequate to the task?
I'm raising my hand. You can't see that, but I'm just letting you know my hand.
Well, y'all couldn't see how red my face was back before when I forgot what I was saying, but that's besides the point. I'll just let everybody know I was embarrassed, but praise God, it doesn't matter.
The point I hate is it when those senior moments hit.
Yeah, man, it's getting more frequent. Well, don't get me distracted, Paul.
Sorry. Bless America. I apologize for that,
too. Come down there and slap you. But how many of us feel completely without enough to accomplish the things God has before us? I do. I feel completely like there's not enough. I'm lacking. That's what I feel. And I use that term specifically. I feel that way. And I bet you there's a lot of people that feel that way. And you know, that feeling that way means they never see the miracle. As long as they continue to listen to how they feel. Now, I want to see the miracle. Do you want to see the miracle, Charlie?
Amen.
I want to see God glorified.
Yep.
I want to see the world see God for who He is, not what these prosperity people or the righteousness people or the free grace people. I want the world to see my Heavenly Father as He is. And that's only going to happen if I show them. Charlie, you show them. Paul, you show them. You folks that are still listening here, you show them who God really is. And you can do that not because you feel that you can, but because he already knows how He's going to do it. Do you think this story was put in here just by, oh, that's a neat historical event that has no significance beyond what happened? Do you think that's why it was put in here?
No.
Do you think the principle that God took that which is completely and totally and utterly so completely deficient to accomplishing the task, do you think that the example of Him taking that which was inadequate in every single capacity and yet doing a work that was an impossible work, do you think the example of that occurring in Scripture was purely some sort of historical event that was just a neat story He wants us to know about?
No.
I don't think so either, Paul. See, I think He put this in there because we are completely and utterly and so totally inadequate to the task at hand in our flesh, in our ability, in our understanding, in every possible conceivable way in ourselves, we are completely and utterly inadequate. But what did He do with that which was inadequate, guys? What did He do with it?
He multiplied it to suit His needs.
But okay, yes, He
okay,
did.
Yeah, I must have got that.
No, you're right, He did. But go back to verse 11 here, and thank you, Lord, because I hadn't talked about this until just a second. But look at this. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had what?
Given thanks.
You know, that's sort of like offering things up to the Lord and say, Lord, do with this as you see fit. I mean, how many of us continue to stay in that place where we're always moaning and complaining about what we don't have, what we can't do? How many of us live in that space? How many times when we're given something to accomplish, the first thing out of our mouth is some sort of reason it can't be done? That's not conducive to seeing the miracles of God, is it?
No.
But you know, here, if we... Let me just finish this up, Charlie, and I'll let you go. We only have 5 minutes left. If we take that which we have and say, Lord, do with it as you will, and we surrender, we actually go to Romans 12 and it says what? Offer yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Right?
Yep.
Amen.
If we take that which we have and we say, Lord, do with it as you see fit. Accomplish your will any way you see fit. Look what he did with something completely insignificant. What are you willing to let him do with you? What are you willing to let him accomplish through your insignificance so that he can be glorified? Now go ahead, Charlie.
Well, you know, the part that is so striking about this whole chapter 6 hits me in 26 and 27. I mean, to me, it's kind of the whole crux of the point of this story. You know, I'll go ahead and read it. And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. You know, I think this goes back to what you're saying, Ricky, is that, you know, this is what we have to labor for. This is what we want to find. We want that spiritual meat to be strengthened and fortified in the Lord.
Amen, Charlie. Paul, I'm not going to run us to the end of the line here. I'm going to give you a chance to speak. I'm going to let you, in fact, I'm going to let you wrap it up, my friend.
Well, the meat that we seek is the free meal. You know, what can the Lord do for us? And the truth of the matter is, he can do everything that he needs to in whatever way he needs to manifest for you to be able to serve him fully. But if all you're after is a free meal,
did we lose you?
That's yes, you're operating in a spirit of poverty that you're going to stay in. You're going to live there forever. And, you know, he's trying to give you access to the kingdom, trying to give you everything you need to do the only thing that matters, which is to find out what pleases him and do it. And that's where you meet him. It's just as simple as that. And it's just as simple as you desiring to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Forgetful hearers only, as it says in James. It's... It is in Matthew 7 what he says after he tells them to depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you.
Yeah, you're right, Paul. I got to wrap you up because we're about to run out of time, my friend.
No, I'm done.
I hope you guys will take this and take it for the encouragement it's really meant to be. If you offer yourself and the little you have to God to do with as he sees fit, he can do great things. But if you hold on to it, you'll do nothing. See you guys next week.